Good morning, Miami Town Church of Christ, and welcome to our last sermon in this series called Great Expectations. As I was thinking about this sermon and even, you know, sermons ago, looking into this last one, I was really excited about doing a big old review of the whole series with all the elements we've looked at and gearing up into this last sermon of the series. But then as this sermon started to develop, there was this very special moment, this interactive element that is going to be later on in the sermon today, that I wanted us to be able to have some time to invest in that. That as a church, even though we're separate, that we would be able to come together in one spirit and we would be able to share in this interactive element together as a church, together as a family. And so I wanted to build in some time margin. So if you're looking at the timestamp on the video and you're like, whoa, this is short for Dusty. That's why. And this video length should not be the length of time that you spend in your worship experience this morning. And all the other things that you're doing involved in worship on your Sunday morning with the sermon video, we've got some extra stuff to this. So I hope that you will be interactive, that we will all grow in God together, that we will invest in this special interactive element a little bit later. Now, with that said, I really like the idea of a big old review, a big old overview of the whole series, and the way that was put together, I was very happy with that. So what I did was I took that, I added into an overview of this sermon also. And there is a separate 12-minute video. It's only 12 minutes. That's not very long. And so it's just a whole review, a whole overview of the whole series, sermon one to this sermon. And you get a chance to get the whole Great Expectations series into a quick 12-minute overview there. So here's my suggestion. You've got some freedom to kind of maneuver and rearrange and do whatever you need to with your time and your elements. But definitely spend some time in this sermon watching the video and interacting with the video as we have this special interactive element together as a church to be able to help prepare us for some things coming up. And so that's going to be really, really awesome. And then I would encourage you after that to go on and watch that 12-minute review video. For some reason, maybe you spend a lot of time in that interactive portion, and that would be awesome, then take some time maybe later today or later this week and watch that 12-minute overview video. But make sure you kind of get it all together. That way it's all tied in together. So those are the things that we're going to have available from today. So let's go on and get started, launch right into our final message in this series called Great Expectations. We've been talking in this series all about great expectations from all sorts of different angles, and every one of them are connected to a different person who got a chance to see and experience the resurrected Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have one last person in this list of people that Jesus appeared to. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8, he said, "And last of all, he appeared to me also as one abnormally born." So our last sermon in this series is on Paul. As we go to the book of Acts, and starting in chapter 5, we get a chance to see the early church starting to get some traction, starting to grow and develop. And at the same time, so also are tensions between the church and the Jews. And those tensions grow so much to the point of in Acts chapter 7, we see the first martyr in the church, and that is Stephen. Stephen is, they're in just such a conflict there that the Jews stone Stephen to death. And it's at the end of chapter 7, at the beginning of chapter 8, that we see this person named Saul. We just get a glimpse of him, that he is there at that event, that he's actually guarding coats of all things. But the bigger part of that is that he is showing his approval, that he fully approves of what they are doing. And so we get a little glimpse there of Saul. Then we step away from that. And the rest of chapter 8, we get a chance to see how the church starts to expand a little more past outside the Jerusalem, Judea area. And then we come back to this character Saul, this person named Saul, in chapter 9. Chapter 9, we see the conversion of Saul to Paul, a story that I think a lot of us are very familiar with. And then after that, he kind of gets put aside a little bit for another story that involves Peter and the other church leaders. In chapters 10 and 11 of Acts, God is communicating to Peter and to the early church leaders that God's expectation, there's that word, God's expectation wasn't just for the Jews to receive the gospel of Jesus, but God had great expectations that the gospel would be for everybody, that God wanted the Gentiles to receive the gospel as well. And as we talked already a little bit in this series, that people like Peter, people like James, they were called by God to reach out to the Jews, to be missionaries to the Jews. However, it was Paul who was called specifically to be a missionary to the Gentiles. And so it's in chapter 13 that we see Paul and his merry little band of ministering missionaries take off on the first mission trip to go deep into Gentile territory. And really from chapter 13 on, it's just one story after another of Paul's adventures and the different people that are in connected with Paul as they are taking the gospel out into the different Gentile areas, spreading it all over the place. And so as we see all that, as we take a step back here to Acts chapter 9, we see the conversion of Saul to Paul. As I said, a story that I think a lot of us are very familiar with. Now, that story, that the account of Saul converting to Paul, isn't just told in Acts chapter 9. Luke tells that story again in Acts chapter 22, and he doesn't only stop there. He tells the account again in Acts chapter 26. So Luke has three different accounts, all of the same story of Paul's conversion or Saul's conversion to Paul. It is a very, very important event for Luke to include in his book. So much so that he retells it these three different times in such a way that no other event got that much attention in the book of Acts. So it's told in 9, in 22, and in 26. Okay, so I'm going to be doing some jumping around here. Today, we are going to be looking at the account in Acts chapter 22. Before we move on, I want us to look at Acts chapter 9 just quickly as another thing. I told you that today that there was going to be a lot of things, a lot of elements that you would be able to kind of customize your own Sunday experience here. We talked about a few of those already. We've got the sermon. We have the interactive element of the sermon that's coming a little bit later. You have the 12-minute full series review video that's available. And now we have another one, and that is Acts chapter 9. I want you to read Acts chapter 9 sometime in the midst of all this. So you could listen to the sermon, participate in the interactive element coming up. Then you could read Acts chapter 9 after that, and then watch the 12-minute review video sometime later today or early next week. Or you could do what you're doing with the sermon, and you could have the interactive activity a little bit later in the sermon, and then you could watch the 12-minute video, and then later tonight you could read Acts chapter 9. So you've got, and then there's going to be yet a fifth element to tie in with all these other things. So you can just be creative. You can mix these up however you want. You don't want to watch the review video until after this sermon, because the review video includes this. So you'd have some spoilers there. So, Acts chapter 9. So now we can put Acts chapter 9 aside. We're not going to talk about Acts chapter 9 today. That's for you to spend some time reading, and it would be a great opportunity to be able to take in all the stuff that we've been talking about today to be able to kind of reflect on it again. So, before we get to Acts chapter 22, let me mention Acts chapter 26. In Acts chapter 26, that is at the very end of the book of Acts. And Paul is telling his own story, his testimony, to King Agrippa as he requests an audience before Caesar in Rome. Now, what's interesting about Acts chapter 26 is that if you caught Devotions with David this past week, our youth minister, David, he is doing a Facebook Live event every Wednesday at 6:30 called Devotions with David, and he's covering different Bible stories different weeks. He's starting to have some guests that will join him. So this past week, he had a guest of his from Arizona, And his guest could choose from any Bible story in the whole Bible. And his guest chose, you guessed it, if you haven't seen it, then if you've seen it, then you know, the conversion story of Saul to Paul. And so in devotions with David this past Wednesday, they looked at Acts chapter 26. So that's the other element. If you missed devotions with David this past week, then I'm going to have a link on our website below this video where this video shows up on our front page for a week. And then after the week, it'll be on its sermon page and it'll still have the link to the devotions with David video. So if you didn't catch that or you missed it or you don't have Facebook, you can still see the video even though you don't have Facebook. And so I'll put the link to that below this so you can read Acts chapter 9 on your own. You can have Acts chapter 26 from Devotions of David. If you missed it Wednesday, you can catch up with that. And then today we're going to be talking about Acts chapter 22. So now we can slow down a little bit. I've been power, pow, 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 pow. So to get to 22, I just need to go back one chapter. Okay, Acts chapter 21, Paul is returning from his third missionary journey, and he is returning back to Jerusalem, and things have heated up in Jerusalem, and the Jews there are very much against what Paul has been doing. They are super angry with him, and Paul knows this, and people are warning him, don't go back there. If you do, they're going to kill you. And Paul's like, no, I need to go back there. And so he goes back in Acts chapter 21, and sure enough, it doesn't take them very long that after Paul gets there, this angry mob seizes him, grabs him, takes him down to the temple, closes all the doors, and they start to beat him. They're going to beat him to death. They're taking him to church, and they're going to close the doors and beat him to death. That's just what a church is for, isn't it? So they start doing that, and so much so that it's an uproar that the Roman troops hear the uproar, and they come in and interrupt it all and separate everybody out. They arrest Paul, and as they are taking Paul away, Paul asks, he makes a request. He says, may I address the crowd? Now, mind you, he was just getting beaten by a mob. I have no idea. We're not told his physical condition right now. But he's going to turn and address that crowd. And that's where we see the second account of Luke telling Paul's conversion story. This one, very much like Acts chapter 26, is from Paul's own mouth. He says in Acts chapter 26, Luke records Paul saying, brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel, I think that's right, and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. David mentioned this in the Devotions with David, talking about Acts 26, that Paul is mentioned there as being a Pharisee. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul speaks of himself, saying that he was circumcised on the eighth day, which, I mean, that he was of the circumcision group. That was what the Jews did. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. So Paul could trace his lineage down to the very tribe of Benjamin. So he was a Jew of Jews. He was definitely a part of the Israelite nation. He could trace his roots all the way down to Benjamin. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew of Hebrews, Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. Okay, Pharisees studied the law. They knew the law front and back. He says, as for zeal, persecuting the church. I mean, everyone knew Paul was against the church, and he did some pretty amazing things, negatively amazing things, but no one questioned that he was zealous. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless is what Paul says. So Paul was just Jew of Jews, just top notch there. So we continue in Acts chapter 22. He says, I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. He's like, I get it. I was where you guys were. I was where you guys were. He said, I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. As the high priest and all the council can themselves testify, I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I'm always impressed with Jesus's approach here. He says, he doesn't say, Saul, why do you persecute the church? Or even more intimate, he doesn't say, Saul, why do you persecute my people? Jesus says, why do you persecute me? Jesus takes it that personally, that Jesus says, you're persecuting my people. You're persecuting my church. You're persecuting me. And what does Saul say to him? He says, who are you, Lord? And that word Lord is more like sir. It's an address of respect. Who are you, Lord? I asked. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting, he replied. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Then he said, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on his name. So in Paul's story, we see once again that experiencing the resurrected Christ brings change. The resurrection results in change. We see the danger of misguided zeal turned around. We see a man of God so confused that when he comes face to face with the very God that he claims that he's serving, his first words are, who are you? So confused. We see a proud man humbled. We see an enemy of the church transformed and recruited. Now, I told you guys that I had something very special planned for you this Sunday, and we're going to be moving into that element here in just a moment, and I'm very excited for it. I think it's going to be very good for us as a church. As a church, we have come through a renewing the focus journey over years' time. There's been a lot of positive things that have been going on here. And church, I think that we have got some great expectations on our horizon. I believe that God has some plans for us to be very active in his kingdom. Now, as we take all that and we're putting it all together with what's going on right now. I mean, here recently we had the coronavirus, and when we had to stay safe at home and had to change things all around, we needed to adjust. And as a church leadership, as a staff, and all you guys, we had to adjust. And then we're not talking about just little adjustments spread out over a long period of time, but big adjustments that happened pretty much overnight. And major adjustments were required of us. And what did we do? Well, we just did it. We just jumped in. We were flexible as a church. We were flexible. We didn't add to the difficulty by resisting or anything there. We saw that we needed to adjust, changes needed to be made, and we just jumped right in, all of us. And we're doing this new format and overnight. We just jumped right in. We saw what needed to be done, and we embraced what needed to be embraced. And during this time, we've proven that church, we can adjust. We can make changes, and we can even do so quickly when it's required of us. When we come back together, when we get a chance to reconvene physically, there are going to be a number of little changes that we're going to have to continue to take in. Now, there'll be small changes, nothing compared to this big change that we just went through. And we're still trying to sort through that. It's going to be a number of weeks before we get a chance to reconvene together physically. So we'll still be doing this format for a few weeks, at least through the end of May, from what we can speculate as we've been talking about this as a leadership. And so we're going to have a bunch of little things to change. Our church services are going to be very different as we continue to strive to respect our government, as we continue to strive to love our neighbors, to show care and concern for people coming to our church, and for all of our church members as well, as we want to keep everybody safe. So there's going to be a bunch of little changes that are going to have to take place. And I am fully confident that our church is going to handle it in the same spirit that we've handled the big changes that we've handled recently. And I'm confident of that. I expect that. I have great expectations for all of us. We've adjusted quickly, and we've done so as the catalyst was a global pandemic. What happens when things go back to normal, when we get comfortable again? I don't want us to forget how well we adjusted, and in the spirit of our church family, how we did this together, and that we can do the same. And instead of the catalyst being a global pandemic, a virus, that the catalyst would be chasing after the mission of Jesus. That the catalyst would be being obedient to God. That the catalyst would be to chase after the great expectations that God has for this little church, Miami Town Church of Christ. That we would chase and run after that. And we would be unhindered. And I'm excited to see that happen. We've proven to ourselves that we can do it. And if God is the catalyst, we should be able to do so much more than the catalyst being a virus. And so with all that in mind, taking this little study here on Saul's conversion to Paul, we're going to share in an interactive time. We're going to have a prayer time where I'm just going to give you some prayer prompts. And you're going to pause the video. We're going to use the magic of video and to be able to pause that. If we are here together as a church, and maybe when we gather back together physically as a church, maybe we'll do this exact same thing together again and experience it here. The advantage of doing it together is you get a chance to feel that feeling of us all praying together. We're separate, but we're also together in spirit. So as we pray together this Sunday, I want us to understand that all the rest of our church people here, all the rest of our church family, they are praying also and using these same prayer prompts as we take in the story of the conversion of Saul to Paul, and we pick up some things so that we can take this time of staying at home and being separate from each other physically and having to make some changes here, that we could prepare ourselves spiritually for when we do get a chance to reconvene, because we were moving. We had some momentum going as a church, and I'm excited about that. I don't think we're going to lose that. I think this is actually going to be to help to propel us forward, because we got a chance to see us as a church taking on some changes and just adjusting, boom, just like that. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through a guided prayer time as a church. And I'm going to move myself up into the corner here of the screen. Was that pretty cool or what? And we're going to have right in this area of the screen down below me, we're going to have some prayer prompts. And then there'll be a little thing at the bottom of that that says pause video now. And so at that point, you would pause the video and you just take what time that you have. If you're there with your family, then on each of these prayer prompts, we've got three different subjects, and under each subject, we've got two different prayer prompts. And so under these six different prayer prompts, that if you're home with your family, whoever you're quarantined with, whoever you're staying safe at home with, that you would pray about this and pray about whatever that prayer prompt is together, and then unpause the video and then get the next prayer prompt, and it would be this guided prayer. If you're at home alone and watching this, then I hope and pray this would be just a tremendously personal time between you and God. And whether it's your family or if it's you alone, that all of us would be understanding that this is a very personal time for our church body to humble ourselves before God and to pray about these things in light of the conversion story of Saul to Paul. So here we go. So as we reflect on the story of Paul's conversion, we see one, that even the best of intentions can stand in the way of Jesus' mission. Even the best of intentions can stand in the way of Jesus' mission. Paul was zealous and he thought he was doing all the right things, but he was standing in the way of Jesus' mission. So as we reflect on that, let's pray for our church. And here's what we're going to pray. We're going to pray for our church. Take some time to pray that we will openly seek Jesus' lead in our church. That we will openly seek Jesus' lead in our church. Pray about that now. And then we want to make it personal. We want to make it personal. We want to pray that you will be open, that you yourself will be open to where Jesus leads our church. Not just to where he leads you, but that you yourself will be open to where he leads our church. I want us to pray about that now. Pause the video and pray about that now. So as we reflect on the story of Paul's conversion, we see, number two, that when we are focused on our own ambitions, we can lose sight of God's activities. When Paul, who was saying that he was doing what God wanted him to do, but yet he was so focused on his own ambitions that when God himself appeared to him, and when Jesus appeared to him, his first words are, "Who are you?" So we can get so focused on our own ambitions that we lose sight of God's activity. So we want to pray this for our church. So pray for our church. Take some time right now to pray that we will listen for Jesus' voice as he leads our church. That we will listen for Jesus' voice as he leads our church. Pray for that now. Pause the video. And then we want to make that personal. Make it personal. Pray that you will be attentive to Jesus' voice in your life. That you will be attentive to Jesus' voice in your life. Pray about that now. As we continue to reflect on Saul's conversion to Paul, the third thing we pick up out of this is that humility is a prerequisite for obedience. Humility is a prerequisite for obedience. And so we're going to pray for our church. We're going to pray for that a humble spirit continues in our church. We're going to pray even more that a more humble spirit will come across our church family and that we will courageously obey Jesus' lead. Pray for a humble spirit across our church family and that we will courageously obey Jesus' lead. Pause the video and pray for that now. And then once again, we want to make it personal. We want to make it personal. Pray that God will help you to keep a humble spirit and that he will give you the courage to obey him. Make it personal. Pray that God will help you to keep a humble spirit and that he will give you the courage to obey him. Pause the video and pray about that right now. Father, we bring all of this before you as your church here at Miami Town. Father, I thank you so much for the prayers that are being lifted up to you this morning, the connections that are being made to you, to our church family, as we pray in one spirit. Even though we're separate physically, we are one in spirit. We pray these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I want you to imagine, if you would, what would have happened if Saul would have never converted to Paul? I mean, think of all the amazing kingdom stories that we have from Paul and his pursuit of Jesus' mission and how those would have never happened. They wouldn't have happened the same way they did as they happened through Paul. Church, we will never know what Jesus has for us here without all of the elements that we just prayed about. Those are very, very important elements for us to embrace and pray about and to continue to pray about until we can reconvene and regather together again. We will need to openly seek Jesus' lead as a church family together. We will need to attentively listen to his voice as a church family together. We will need to humbly and courageously obey Jesus' vision for our church family together. Church, we have experienced the resurrected Christ, and not physically like those in this series have, but the truth is, we have experienced the resurrected Christ. We're told in Scripture that those of us who have been baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death. We're also baptized into his resurrection. We find this in Romans chapter 6. It says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We've been raised anew to live with him. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit guaranteeing us that we will experience a full resurrection into our eternal bodies, that we will spend eternity with God. But we also currently have experienced our resurrection in Christ, that we rise to live a new life now. Every one of us, when we were baptized into Christ, we died, we were joining his death, and we were joined in his resurrection. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. You were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Church, I believe that God has some great expectations for our church. We have come through a lot here. We have a lot of history. We've come through trials. We've come through victories. And we are now at a time where we have a solid foundation. And our church is in a very good spiritual state of health right now. And we are ready. We are ready to progress. We are ready to move forward. I have great expectations for our church, but my expectations are nothing compared to the great expectations that I believe that God has for our church. And I hope and I pray that every one of us would be seeking after God's great expectations for our church, and that we will all just chase after the mission of Jesus, and that we will chase after Jesus as he leads his church here in Miami Town towards God's great expectations for us.